Lord. And you know, waiting on the Lord is not just sitting back doing nothing. You know, through the Bible, if you, and I will get into some scripture here in a few minutes, but hallelujah. In the Bible, the word waiting means to be twisted together with. It means to be one with. It means to think like, speak like, act like God. To be twisted together with Him. To be one in union with Him. That's what waiting on the Lord means. You know, how many knows that waiting on the Lord brings a great confidence in the doers of it?
Amen.
When you're waiting on the Lord, you're really leaning on the Lord, trusting Him. It causes a confidence by the Spirit of God to come up on the inside of that believer. But I like that abiding confidence. Are you still going to stand on that word? Confidence come a little while. A little trial come. Confidence lower level will go down a little bit. But I'm telling you, the more that you wait on the Lord, the more that confidence level comes up to where you come to the place to where you, when you sing that song, I shall not be moved, you ain't moved.
Amen.
Ain't nothing moved you.
Right.
The Apostle Paul even said it in there. He said the Holy Ghost appeared to him and told him, everywhere you go, you're gonna be buns, gonna be trials, in other words, gonna be imprisonment. He said, but none of these things move me. None of these things move me. And I took that scripture one time and I thought, Lord, help me that my life, I don't love my life unto death. But I love your life to put mine to death. My will to death. Just your will rule in my life. That's what waiting on the Lord. Now, how many knows there comes a great confidence up in the believer because the Bible says, greater is He that's in us than he that's in this world. So when we're having confidence in God, we're feeding the inner man. We're feeding the born-again man. We're living from the inside out. You know, when I was thinking about it the last few days, I was thinking about how that Christians, just if you look in the natural, we're having to take a stand in our heart what's true and what's not. From the Bible. We're having to do that. We're having to take that word because you've got a lot of things going on in the world. You've got two realms. You've got a natural realm and you've got a spiritual realm. You've got a God spiritual realm and you've got a darkness spiritual realm. I mean, those are what I'm talking about. The devil's real.
Right.
His kingdom's real.
Right.
His influences are real. But the kingdom of God is more real than that kingdom, praise God. All right, give me 1 Peter. That he'd read the word back there. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. And you know, when I got to that right there, the Spirit of God spoke to me. The Holy Spirit, He said, what does humble mean, son? See, a whole lot of stuff goes on after that. But I began to ponder. And I thought, what does humble mean? And I mean, I started pondering on that, just meditating on it. Because, I mean, I can go look it up and study it. But how many know the Holy Ghost knows?
Right.
And I mean, it wasn't but about 3 minutes that was preaching on in the living room. A guy says, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6, he said, humble yourself under the mighty. I thought, glory to God, did he just say that? And I thought, I bet he ain't going to say what humble is. And I listened just a minute, and he said, in other words, for all this other stuff to work, he said, we got to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. He said, humble means to be one with. And I thought, man, that's what I'm preaching on, waiting on the Lord, to be one with. He said, humble means you're in agreement with God. You're going to do things God's way. You're going to think like God. You're going to act like God. You're going to be like God. I thought, glory to God. I didn't even know humble meant all that.
Right.
But humble ourselves. The Bible says submit ourselves therefore to God and then resist the devil, right? What does submit mean? That means be in agreement with. Be in there in union with the Lord. Lord, and it's simple. It's not real hard. It's like, God, have your way in my marriage. God, have your way in my life. God, have your way. Help me to do your will in every area. God, help me. That's what you're doing. You're relying on Him. You're waiting on Him. So it says here, to think like God. Humble yourself. See, be in agreement with the word. By Jesus Christ of Heel. The gold and silver is his. He'll supply all the money. All the promises of God that are in the Bible says are in him. Yes and amen. And he thinks that way.
Amen.
Now, I mean, it's foolish for me to get up and say, well, I don't go to work more because he supplies all of my needs according to. Now that the Bible says if a man don't work, you don't eat, you don't get hungry, and you don't have to fast.
That's right.
Come on, somebody. It's God's will that we work. Work with God, work with our hands that we'll have to give to those who need. It's in the scriptures. Work. Work. Where do I work? Fast, pray, seek the Lord. If a door opens and you're not working, go run in there.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all got quiet. Yeah. Thought we're supposed to be led. That is a leading if you're not got a job.
Yeah.
Right? That's a leading.
Yep.
Hallelujah.
Right. Come on.
I told Travis one time, and now I'm still on this. Because we're going to get into some things. See, the promises of God are in him, yes and amen. When we're in agreement with God, when we're yielding to God, when we're yielding to the Holy Spirit, when we're being doers of the Word of God, we're doing all that we know to do, paying our bills.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody.
Right.
And on time.
Yeah.
On time.
Amen.
He gives this stuff to faithful men. Faithful women. That's able to teach others. Teach them what? Don't make it bell there going up on it anyhow. That's not the Bible.
Yeah.
Humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God, the Bible says, that he may exalt us in due time.
Glory to God.
There comes an exalting in times when we grow and we take a stand. Just like the little thing about church Richard. I mean, there's going to promises be added to him spiritually and even in the natural.
Come on.
Casting all your care on him, for he cares for you. There's a casting over on the Lord your troubles that you must continually do.
Amen.
And other people's troubles. I get phone calls all the time, so I understand when these people feel like they're pulling on you on every side. I understand. If God can get you trained with one, though, he's got about 40 or 50 more he wants you to be able to handle and cast over. So he's wanting you to go from 1 to 10.
That's right.
To be able to cast other people's cares and burdens over on him with them in agreement with them and not weigh you down and you know. there's a purpose in it. Casting all your care. Somebody say, cast it off.
Cast it off.
Hallelujah. We got to cast it off. The troubles in the world. I was talking to somebody, got into the Parks house. We had church right down here in the Parks house the other day, boy. I mean, three of us Christians in there, the owner, one been working for him for a long time. We got talking about the Lord. Got talking about the evil going on in the world. Got talking about them pressing things on, you know, people and our rights and all of that stuff. And I said, but you know, if you go read in Matthew 24, I said, all this stuff's in the Bible.
Yeah.
I said, it's in the Bible. Matthew 24, Revelations, Thessalonians, hallelujah. I said, it's in there. I said, these evil times, I said, the Bible says that in the last days that people be lovers of themselves more than lovers of God, not us.
Yeah. Amen.
No. We choose to be in oneness with God, in oneness with him, yielding to him, separating ourselves in our heart, hallelujah, to the Lord, hallelujah. And there is sustaining power when we do that. We're not just on our own. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. And the Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us?
Hallelujah.
He said, be sober, sober minded. Talk about your mind.
Right. Come on.
I got so many troubles. You got a clouded mind. You got to get in that Bible. I don't find the strength to get in that Bible, but you can worry all night.
Right.
Come on. It takes more strength to worry. It kills you spiritually. It drains you. Oh, there's strength in casting that over on the Lord and getting that word and saying, no weapon formed against me will prosper. Glory to God, greater is he that is in me than he that is in me. That's being humble. You're in union with God then. You're in union with him. You're in union with the Holy Spirit. You're in union with the Word of God.
That's
he says, be vigilant. because your adversary, the devil's a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. It don't say that he's going around devouring Christians. He don't have that kind of power. He just don't have it. It says he's seeking whom? Well, we're not whom. Amen. We're conquerors. We're more than conquerors, the Bible says. More than. Somebody say more than.
More than.
Not just be a conqueror, more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. He says, whom resist, how often? Steadfast. In confidence. Faith is confidence. He says, resist Satan in the morning. Don't say that. That's Scotty's version. Resist him first thing in the morning.
Right.
Resist him at 9 on your break time.
Yeah.
Then resist him at noon.
Yeah.
Resist him at 3. Resist him at night. Steadfast. That means all the time standing steadfast against the devil. Yeah. Against him. Not running from him.
That's right.
I mean, I've been to churches where they just didn't let it go on in the church. Oh, the devil's this. Oh, the devil's got this. He's all in this. And blah, 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 blah. And hear that all? That's everybody's hearing that. Faith comes by hearing. And then that devil is just rampant in everybody's home before you know it. But every time I would get to pulpit, I'd jump up and I'd feel like I've got my boxing gloves on. And bless God, I'm a Vander Holyfield. Back there, he was a big dude, you know. I liked to watch him back yonder. And I felt like, spiritually, one time I felt like the Vander Holyfield bringing on anybody. The devil. I'm talking about the devil, praise God. And so I'd get up there and I'd say, the devil? Lord of God, Jesus stripped him of all power. You ain't got no trouble for it. You know what? The whole place is breaking out in revival. They realize they done been in a bunch of unbelief and sad and oppressed and distant. The mercy of the devil. I mean, he ain't got no mercy, but he ain't got no power.
That's right. Come on.
And so I enjoyed it for quite a few years, them devil churches.
Yeah.
Devil this, devil that, devil this. And walking, Brother Scott, the devil. Next time I go there, I'd be like, Jesus is Lord, Brother Weston, he's Lord.
Hallelujah.
Glad you're back, man.
Yeah.
Glad you're back. We still remember that, but God, we stopped giving him credit.
Amen.
We stopped praising him in the house of God.
Amen.
We started telling him at home, get out of here, you idiot. We ain't listening to you no more. Going down the road one day, my pastor's driving, we're going to, man, he was going to pastor's meetings once a month, or ministry meeting once a month. We're headed to Birmingham. We're going down there and he's hammering, boy. I said, devil, I told him, I said, hey, man. I said, the devil told me you didn't like me anymore. He got quiet. He just over like this, man. And I mean, he didn't want to look. He's trying to look at me. I'm looking at him. He can see I'm looking at him. And I said, well, that's the only problem is I went and listened to him a long time ago. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Glory to God, I told him, I said, I quit listening to that idiot. He ain't nothing but a liar. If he spits something out at me, I know it's a lie. I ain't going to believe a minute of it.
Yeah.
He tells me y'all don't love him. It looks like it's sometimes. I tell him, you liar.
Yeah.
He tells you, but if I don't love him in the church, he's a liar. Yeah. Just tell him, you liar.
Yeah. Come on.
You idiot. I've got no evidence of that.
That's right.
We're all praising another day. You remember? Man, we're clapping and shouting. We're breaking loose in church, and you telling me they don't care? Liar.
Right. Come on.
You spit it right back at him.
Yeah.
Take his bullet and shoot it back at him. Praise God. He's a liar.
Right.
You ain't going to make it. You ain't going to ever get no raises. You ain't going to. Tell him, liar. Bible says, promotion got from the Lord. I'm not looking in the natural to determine my promotion, devil. I'm looking at Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith in God, makes a way where there seems to be no way.
Hallelujah.
See, you got to talk to these circumstances and the devil, praise God. And that's resisting him. It says, resist steadfast in the faith, knowing the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that in the world. But let me tell you something. There's a baby-fied side of us. We get born. I believe I was whipping devils more when I was a baby than I do sometimes now. I mean, I'm just fired up Christian, boy.
Yeah.
I remember where Jesus in the morning, Jesus in the noontime, Jesus in the afternoon, fasting, man. Everybody's like, Scotty, you're getting skinny. What's wrong with you? Nothing. I didn't let them know I'm fasting. I'm doing this in secret, like the Bible says, bless God. Ah, you want something to eat? Nah, I'm okay. I'm good. I'm good, thank you. Everybody will feed you when you fast. You can't get them to buy you a biscuit, man. You can't beat it out of them when you ain't fasting. I'm telling you right now, that's honest to God's truth, man. I believe some people are anointed by Satan to feed me when I'm fasting. Hallelujah. You know, did you know that fasting is waiting on the Lord? Fasting is tuning yourself in to what the Holy Spirit is saying in your life. Fasting. I mean, you know, some people think that's a cuss word. Yeah. Fasting. I starved to death, man. I starved. Yeah, we can tell. You got about 80 pounds you can lose. I thought one time, nah, man, I don't need I'm going to starve to death. And I thought, man, I got reserve. Yeah. I got a little fat stored back. I've stored back.
Yeah.
You know? But look, fasting does something spiritual in our lives. That's part of waiting and trusting in on the Lord. I mean, when you're having trouble believing God for your light bill, don't lay down, oh, Jesus, slide that plate back and say, yes, I cooked you for me, but God, I'm denying your right now. I'm drawing close to the Lord. I'm going to get tuned into what God's saying, hallelujah, to me, and I'm not going to let this flesh rule me and tell me that God is slack concerning his promises when the Word says that he's not slack concerning his promise.
Amen.
See, if I'm in tune with the Lord that way, if I've really been waiting on the Lord, being relying on the Lord, having confidence in the Lord, when those times come, I'm in tune and God will speak some scripture or something to me by the Spirit of God that will cause me to ride over that and say, glory to God, this is coming to pass. I don't care what it looks like. And faith and confidence is there that you won't yield to that unbelief and stuff anymore.
Amen.
There comes a place where you just get established in the Word and built up in God. You know, grounded, rooted in the Word of God. You know, I know Christians that know the Word, they can quote the Word, they've been in the Word, but when it comes to reality of life, they don't use the Word. They're religious. They're churched. I'm not going to be churched. I've been in church for 27 years, and I still ain't churched. You know what I learned? I learned that people that go to prison for an extended amount of period of time, they get locked into the system and the system changes them.
Yes.
It changes them. I know I've got them in my own family that don't even want to come out of jail. They come out of jail, they go steal something to go back. They'd rather be in there than out here. They've done been conformed to that system and they can't make choices out here. See, we can't be conformed to the world, or we get in a mold of it, and we get in a rut of it. The world don't trust God. The world don't lean on God. The world don't have confidence in God. The world don't go to the house of God. Only that's why we go outside the walls. We try to get them to submit to the Lordship of Jesus, because we know the transformation that'll take place in their life and their kids and their families and their friends. Amen. And the better life they will have because of the character of God.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We got into I told them there in the Parks house, I told them, man, it's been some good church up in here.
Amen.
You don't get that in the Parks house. You go in, buy your starter, and you go. Phones ringing, they're too busy, man. I'm talking about Jesus in here. One of them told me, the owner told me not too long ago, he said, you know what, Scott? And I said, yes, sir. What is it? He said, I don't tell you enough how much I appreciate you serving Jesus.
Amen.
He said, y'all don't tell you enough how much I appreciate your business here because you served Jesus. He said, and I'm sorry because I don't voice him enough in my business.
Bless
him. Well, I'll be at the counter talking about Jesus to people, you know, man. We're talking about the Lord. I feel awkward at times. Wonder if they want to hear it or not. I don't care. I don't care. I mean, I care about you. That's why I'm saying it. You know, Jesus. Guy called me one time, wanted to sell me some insurance. I said, I got some insurance that's out of this world, boy. He said, what company is it? I said, it's Heaven. I've never heard of them. I said, his name is Jesus. He's the ruler up there. I said, you know Jesus? Oh, no, yeah, that Jesus. He got in church? I said, yeah, man, he heals me, delivers me. He meets all my needs according to his riches, but God, he pays all my doctor bills. Oh, you don't need no insurance then, do you? No, I got the best in the world. Glory it's God. Out of this world.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm really serious, though. You know, I'm not playing games with the dude, man. I'm preaching Jesus to them salesmen, boy. You know, trying to sell me insurance on the phone. Well, I'm all about him. I could have said, do you know the devil? He'll kill you. You better have bigger insurance than what you got there. If you ain't got heavy insurance, you're going to make you, man, you're going to make you sick. You're going to kill your family. We got some heavenly insurance. We got a lifetime supply. Our needs being met. Lifetime.
Hallelujah.
Lifetime. It ain't a one-time shot. It's a lifetime. Hallelujah. Give me the next one, please. Let me see if I got anything wrote down here. I don't think so. Yeah, dude. Humble means to be obedient to. To it be in agreement with, to be like-minded. It's God. I mean, that's kind of foreign around Christians nowadays for some reason, that we can think like God. The Bible said, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He said, let that same mind, Matt, be in me and you.
Glory to God, man.
Let that same mind be in me and you. That's what humble is, to think like God. We don't think limited in nobody's situation. I mean, two people this last week, they think they need me, Mac, and my money to help them and get them a car. And I tell them, I'm not what you need. You don't need me. You need what I know and go do what I've done to get what I got. Hallelujah. See, I can get them a car. I can get them a place to live. But I'm telling you, that won't last them but a month or three. But you get them on fire for Jesus. You get them like-minded as Jesus is. You get them put their trust in him instead of man or the world or their job or the age, and that person will rise because the promises are not limited to anything. They are in Jesus, and they are yes and amen to whosoever.
Amen.
So my answer to everything is church.
That's right.
My leg broke. Go to church. I get on them prayer lines, I have fun with them all. You know, them prayer things on Facebook, they all the time pray. Now, listen, where do you get, now, religious people attack me, you know, when I do this, you know. Them that don't go to church and stuff, I say, where do you go to church? They ask them for food. And they'll come back and say, how dare you ask them where they go to church? They're hungry. Well, we used to go, now you go stay hungry. You were supplied. Now you need the prayer line on Facebook.
Yeah.
What happened? Well, COVID. Every church didn't shut down.
Yeah.
No, sir, they did not. A lot of them geared up, went on live. And a lot of the church members just slept right on through it. Coming right in their living room, still didn't go to church.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. But those, what, I didn't call them up there one where they do my business in church. Walked in there and we're going to do some work. They didn't come in. But I sat down there and that lady, the secretary, I said, y'all make it through COVID with your church? Oh, yes, you're down in Bonsville, ain't you there, Mr. Weston? I said, yeah. I said, you're keeping Brother Lee? He's not saved, man. I said, you keep him straightened out, but I'm working on him, sir. I'm working on him. I said, good. She began to tell me how during time of COVID they started house meetings, praise God. They started house meetings in their neighborhood. They started house meetings and they started, you know, having small groups in different houses. They wasn't ready to quit either. They just geared up. They had that same mind. Not going to be conformed to the world. I'm going to be transformed my mind. I'm transformed because I've done renewed my mind. But it means to be one with, to think like, hallelujah. I know we're living in a culture that, you know, they've always called me a fanatic. Any of y'all in here think I'm a fanatic? Tell me the truth. Anybody? See? Y'all were saved. You get out there and them people, they don't never get in their Bible. They quote what the church quoted. They sung them hymns that didn't even line up with the songs. I mean, the Bible. And then you get out there and they're all carnal. And then you want to believe God that your dog's healed. They look at you like you're an idiot. Then they're Christian. I believe God that all of my cows will just spit out blessings. Call me a lunatic if you want to. The Bible says the blessing of the Lord.
That's right.
On my cows, on the ministry, on my marriage, in my workplace, the blessing of the Lord in riches, maketh rich, in every area, not just money, and adds no sorrow. You won't be sorry you're doing it.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. It says to be in obedience to. To be in agreement. The Lord's told me to do stuff before and I just wouldn't do it. Knew he wanted me to do it. And it caused me to lose confidence in God and everything else. Because I'd be like, well, I'm supposed to be doing the will of God. The will of God, you won't have a clear conscience. You need to have a clear conscience between man and God. Both. So that when you're standing on the word of God, blood of God, you got confidence that God hears you and God will do what his word says. Hallelujah. It says to be word-minded and speaking the same thing, to be in agreement with. Don't God call those things that be not as though they were?
Yeah.
I see the post on Facebook, and I'm 54, you know. I realize I'm getting age on me, you know. That's fine. Somebody asked me the other day, how's it feel to be 54? I thought, it feels pretty doggone good. I can't tell the difference in 35 if I have to think hard. Well, I'm too busy to do all of that. I drive things out of me. I ain't going to put up with it. I'm not going to be 65 years old and sitting down slobbering, trying to get up to go eat breakfast. I ain't got that vision. I ain't gonna have it. The Bible's giving me a different long satisfied life will I give you. Long satisfied. Not set back, weak, drooping, can't even move to get up. Long satisfied. So I gotta fight for that now. Gotta stay in that word. Keep that mind on the word. Be in agreement with that word. In agreement with God. In agreement in my thinking. In agreement in my speaking.
Exactly.
If the Bible says that if I hearken to the voice of the Lord, Deuteronomy 28, all these blessings will come on me and overtake me. I'll be blessed going in, blessed going out. That's what I need to be saying. That's what I need to be thinking. I'm obeying the Lord. I'm in obedience to you, Lord. Lord, if I can do more obedience to you, Lord, help me. If you're not in obedience, don't quit. Just ask him to help you get obedient. Help him. He'll help you get obedient. He said, then I need to be thinking that. I used to go around I still go around all the time. I'll be by myself and I'll be headed to my shop or something. I'll say, I'm blessed going in. Woo, thank you, Lord. I'm blessed going out. Glory to God. I'm blessed in the city. Blessed in the field. Blessed is the fruit of my body. I don't need y'all. I don't need the church to say that and to do that. I'm going to live it. I'm going to eat it. I'm going to think it. I'm going to say it. Just like you said over there, humble myself. That's being humble. That's putting our trust in the Lord. Hallelujah. It says to be word-minded, speaking the same thing, to be in agreement with. Give me that Isaiah. Hallelujah. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the what? Everlasting God. The Lord. Capital. Comma. It's not just something to read. He's God. He's the Lord. Hallelujah. He's the Lord that created the heavens and the earth. He's the Lord that created us in his image and likeness. He's the Lord that heals us. He's the Lord that rolled back the Red Sea. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's our provider. He's El Shaddai. He's more than enough. He's the Alpha, the Omega. That's who he's talking about. We are in the hands of a big, big, awesome God.
Amen.
Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not. Neither's weary. God ain't fainting. God ain't weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He's so vast you can't figure out all of him. He's not a mysterious God either. I mean, I knew my father up till he died 19 years, whatever it was. You know, and some would say, your dad is kind of weird, ain't he? And I said, no, man, my dad ain't weird at all. They didn't know my daddy. But I knew my dad. My dad wasn't weird. My dad was my dad. He was my dad. Well, that's the way my father is now. My earthly father's gone. And my father now, it was a way, way more father than my natural father. I know him better than I knew my natural father. So he's not weird. God's not weird. He don't work in mysterious ways like people says he does. See, they'll take this scripture saying, ain't no searching out his understanding. That's not even what that means in the natural. If you look at it in the natural, that means God is so vast, there's no end to him. There's no end to his wisdom. There's no end to his understanding. That's what that means. You never know what God's going to do. I do. This Bible tells me exactly what God's going to do.
Amen.
It tells me exactly what God's going to do. Now, I didn't understand what I understand now, but you got to be a Bible student. You got to get in that Bible. You got to not take me for your... Listen, you don't need to take me as truth. You need the Bible. You need to read that Bible. Or if I miss it, you say... No, Brother Scotty, that ain't right there. That's just not right. You don't need to sit there going, oh, yeah, give me another drink of that. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. When men speak, it's not according to the Word of God. Boom, instantly I'll pick up on it on the inside. I'll be like, something ain't right with that. Something ain't right with that. And then I'll go to ponder that. I'll go get that Bible. And I'll look, but God, I'll study. I'll find out why something's bothering me about it because I heard a man speaking. And most of the time when I do that, I'll find out that was out of a wrong spirit. Might have been saying the right thing, but out of a wrong spirit. You know, you invite people to church out of a wrong spirit. I don't really get people to pray for me too much. Because I think maybe 60% will pray, maybe the right thing. Then you got a 20%. God wrap your big loving arms around him, God. Ain't no big loving arms gonna be wrapped around me. God's sitting on the throne. How's he gonna wrap his big loving arms around me? Jesus is on the right hand, ain't he? He ain't coming back down here. The only way he's coming back down here with them angels. When the trumpet sounds and the shout, hallelujah, go get my children. He's coming back then. He's coming back. He's going to receive us up then. We're coming back down here. And he's going to set up his kingdom and we're going to rule and reign for 1,000 years with him. Praise God.
Amen.
So don't let all that religious junk. God, wrap your big loving arms around them down there. No, man, get out on your knees and say, God, your word says, let God you supply all their needs. I bind principalities and powers. I speak to their inner man right now in the name of Jesus, and I thank you, resurrection power. See, you don't need to say, wrap your big loving arms around and get in that religious nonsense.
Come on.
Hey, some of y'all in here, anybody ever heard that? Look here. Hey, some of us done heard that. Poor people, next time you hear it, teach it. Say, God's on the throne in heaven. He can't wrap his arms around people. Ain't no scripture to back that up. None. None whatsoever. The Bible says the earth has he given to the sons of men. The earth has he given to the sons of men. Now we're to take dominion. Go, take dominion. Dominion over the fowl of the earth, the fish of the sea, and every living creature. He said, take dominion. Be fruitful. Multiply. Replenish the earth. Do you know that still today? Me and you are supposed to be taking dominion over COVID.
That's right. Come on.
Instead of listening to the news and scared of it.
Right.
We're supposed to be taking dominion. We're the restraining force on this planet. Hallelujah. I'm not against medicine and all that, but the Bible says every name that is named has to bow at the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, the COVID's got a name, ain't it? The Delta variant has got a name, ain't it? And whatever comes off of that, it's like little, I mean, the best way I can understand is you got COVID and then you got little demons going out from it. Variances or something, what they call it. I would think, you know, the cigarette puts off smoke and then cigarette smoke going up there. That's off of the cigarette. So Delta's got some offspring.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody, man. We got to stand against that stuff.
Right.
Rebuke it.
Yep.
I mean, rebuke it at your house. Rebuke it off your friends. Rebuke it off your neighbors. Rebuke it from your neighborhood. Rebuke it from this church. Y'all stand in agreement with me. That's what humble yourself behind the mighty hand of God. Be in agreement with Him. Be one with Him. He wants it subdued. But you know, God's done all He can do. He sent us agents down here to perform what He started, what Jesus started. Jesus is on the right hand of the Father, making intercession, talking to God about us, praise God, relaying things to God. The Holy Spirit is down here in the earth telling us the mind and the purpose and the will of God in our lives and in our ministries, in our kids, in our families. And that's why fasting, it causes us to get in tune with Him that searches the mind of God and knows the mind of God and the heart of God, the Holy Spirit. Me and Dave was on the job, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, I guess. And I've been in the garage door business for nearly 30 years. And we had done something, put an opener in or something, I don't know what we've done. But anyhow, the drawbar was causing a problem. What the drawbar? That's what it was. It was drawbar. I mean, I've done everything that I know to do. I'm thinking, man, what's wrong with this thing? And Dave, he felt on the inside, told me later, that it was that drawbar. And so he tells me, he says, could it be that drawbar? And I looked up at that drawbar and I said, nah, it ain't that. It ain't that. He's like, okay. He thought, he's the expert. We go on, mess around with that. I think about the third time he said that to me. He said it again. He said it the second time. Could it be that drawbar? I said, no. I thought, man, why do you ask me that again? I'm trying to figure this out. And he said it the third time, and in here I'm looking now. I'm looking on the inside. I'm trying to find, God, what's wrong with this? And when he said it again, it bore witness. And I looked at it, and I said, bless God. I said, it is that. It's that drawbar. And he was telling me later, he said, I felt it on the... See, even in that, God will lead by His Spirit. He did it today, then Dave, on another service down 99. And everything went pretty good, and, you know, and all of that good stuff. And get down to the run in the door. And the door's catching the trap. I told Dave, I said, now when I said it, man, be ready, pop it loose. Because it'll tear the panel up, you know. Well, he's having to pop it loose. Pop it loose. And I go and I do all that I think of. And I'm like, man, what is wrong with this thing? And so I'm over there and I said, Lord, I need to know how to fix this. And all of a sudden, I could see me shifting that whole track on that side over, shifting the whole thing over. I went after the Holy Spirit, showed me that, shifted that track right over, and it worked in today.
Amen.
See, we need to be one with Him on our jobs.
Yeah.
We need to be one with Him. Remember one time, Brad, that's my pastor, he's working down in Birmingham. He goes down there, and he was, they building Interstate 65 at that time, back in the 80s or whatever. And he drove one of them big earth movers, you know, big pan that scrapes the dirt up, hauls. But anyhow, the Lord told him, he's going up through there, and the Lord told him, he said, go pray. So he shuts the machine off, he goes in the toilet down there, and he starts praying in the Holy Ghost. He's praying in the Holy Ghost. And while he was praying, he came out. I think he was the one standing at the hole.
Yeah.
He felt the release. That was the Holy Spirit telling him to pray. And there was blowing up rock, you know, dynamite. And he goes over there where the backhoe was, and dynamite had went off, and they're digging the hole out. But there was one left in there that hadn't ignited yet. Nobody knew it. They're done fixing to dig it out. And he's standing there, and they've reached down with the backhoe bucket, and about the time it shielded him, boom, it went off. And throw big boulders everywhere but on him.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's the power of the Holy. The Holy Spirit knew the dynamite was still in there. He knew that it was going to go off. He knew it. But he needed a man to be obedient to him. It says, fainteth not, neither for it. There is no searching of his understanding. He gives what?
Power.
Do you feel like you're weak? There's your right there. He gives power to the weak. Power to the faith. And to them who doubt no might, he increases strength. That was me 20-something years ago. I quit everything, man. I quit my marriage. I quit jobs. I went to work. I just all kinds. I was weak. I was just weak. I didn't have no. I wasn't a lazy guy. I've never been a lazy guy. But I didn't have the power to make right decisions and be steadfast to where it would carry me somewhere in life. I hated a regular job. I loved to work. But it was like, I can't see Teresa when I want to, take her home when I want to. And now Teresa will tell me, can't you go to work? 36 years late, Mac. Said, baby, ain't you got nothing you can go do? She's going to clean that house. Ain't you going to your shop today? Yeah, baby, I'm going to the shop. Get out of there. Come in there.
Can't come in yet. I'm not through cleaning.
Hey, have you ever seen a woman, my wife, for the life of me, I can't figure this one out. Now, we get the babies on Tuesday night. We get the kids on Tuesday. Every Tuesday night we have, ever since Beth got to where she could turn loose of Aubrey, you know, it was about 6 months into it, I think. You know, ever since then, they'll pay us to keep them now. But anyways, they've been coming to the house. And so Teresa, she cleans the house from one end to the other on Tuesday before the kids get there. And I'm thinking, why don't you wait till Wednesday to clean the house? Because the kids are going to get here on Tuesday. But I reckon in her thinking, she don't want the floors dirty so they won't get dirty. Like they're going to be clean when they come out from outside with Pawpaw. That's not going to happen. Can't figure that one out. I still don't know. I don't know. So I just try not to go home too early on Tuesday. Let her clean the house so they can mess it right up, Mac. Yeah, I reckon. He gives power to the faith. And now you can't get me to back down. It's not because I've just doggone made my mind up. That's not it. That's not it. Praise God. He's made a no quitter out of me. Jesus, the one that came on the inside of me being one with him, yielding to him, renewing my mind to the word of God, trying to do my very best to do his will, to love my wife as Christ, to forgive my enemy. I was telling them down there in the Parks house, I said, they was talking about, you know, the word of God. They're talking about the word of God is the only way that we know what truth is this day. And it is the word.
Right.
And I told him, I said, yeah. He said, and then one of them made a statement. He said, yeah. He said, I really don't like that word sometimes myself as a Christian, you know. I said, me either. I said, in light of what you just said, let me give you just one. And there's been many ever since I got saved. I said, one was love your enemies. I said, I read that and I shut the Bible. And I told Teresa, I said, I don't like that. Love your enemy. I don't like that. Because at that time, I had people that I would like to shoot between eyes and help them. I mean, I've been real close to killing people before. Just, I don't know why. I guess the Holy Ghost before I got saved. I don't remember. But anyhow, I told him, I said, you know what? I said, that's why the world and the system of the world can't stand the church. I said, all of those wanting God out, they can't stand Christian. I said, they can't stand it. I said, because when we are being doers of God's word, we are living epistle examples of conviction before them. I said, we're the walking word. I said, and that irritates them, some people. It irritates those that don't want nothing to do with Jesus, the church, or anybody that's affiliated with Jesus. I said, because homosexuality and abortion and all of that is against the Bible, and we are, as Christians, are against it. I said, they're stumbling at the word, and we're not being offended with the word. I said, we're empowered by the word. I said, we're empowered by homosexuality is not God. And you can't be, you can't serve God and have your boyfriend if you're a man, and a girlfriend if you're a girl. And now teaching the kids down there, they got some in Cleveland school already. The 7-year-old girl goes and tells another schoolmate that she's gay. Teacher says, did you say that? She said, I am. And my brother wants to be a girl. He's 6. One of them said, boy, that makes me sick. I said, that's the world we live in. I said, we're the only ones on the church that can get them redeemed from this. I said, because the parents and people around them are training them against the Lord, to live a life against the Lord. It'll be nothing but destruction to them. I said, but we, the church, we got to stand that God made a man for a woman, a man and a woman, not Adam and Steve, Adam and Eve. That it's an abomination to the Lord. I said, now we don't hate them, but we want to get them in and get them born again so they can begin to find out who they really are in Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He says he gives power to the faith, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall fall and be weary, young ones. And the young men shall utterly fall. He's not talking about people with the Lord. Go ahead, Zach. But they that wait, there's that word wait. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Those that wait on the Lord, those that, and I wrote this down, to bind together, that word wait, I went and studied it in the Hebrew, in the Greek. It says, bind together, to be in agreement, same meaning as humble yourself over there that we read over there in Timothy. To be in agreement with, to expect him to see you through, to look patiently for and on and upon him, to be in agreement with God. See, you can't be in agreement with God and call yourself sick. You can't be in agreement with God and call yourself broke and say, I don't know what I'm going to do. The Bible is contrary to everything you're saying. He says he'll supply all of your needs according. So you can't say, I don't know what I'm going to do and be in agreement with God.
Right.
See, we got to come on up in faith to where we believe the Bible. We're in agreement with the Bible. God looked over this earth of darkness and he didn't say, it's just too dark out there. Nothing ain't going to happen if I say anything. He sent the Holy Spirit. We've got the Holy Spirit. And he said, let there be light. And the Bible says, bang, light was. See, our problem is looking in the natural. And it looks impossible. It looks like it can't. Let me tell you. A guy the other day, he called me. Wants me to do a job. The overall job, $29,600. And I told him, I said, I need $19,000 down installment. He calls me back. Put no ticket out. He calls me back. And he said, I have a problem giving $19,000. I said, well, let me tell you this. I said, I don't borrow money. I said, I don't charge doors anymore. I said, I hadn't for about 10 or 12 years. I believed to get where I'm at.
Right.
It didn't just happen all of a sudden. I believed God to get to where that I didn't have to write a check and hurry up and get the doors in where the money will be there. That's a lot of pressure on a man.
Yeah.
Then you get over there and get them in, the guy don't want to pay. You got to get a draw from the bank. Now you got to run and get five more doors in so you can cover that guy till Friday. I got tired of that. I wanted another level in my life.
Yeah.
And so I told him, he said, well, I have a problem with that. I said, well, I have a problem with you not doing it.
Yeah.
I said, I don't charge. And I said, I have a problem paying for your doors and then get the job done and then you pay me. I said, I have a problem with that. I said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm willing to put about $4,000 or $5,000 in it. I said, but the least I'll come down to is $15,000. You're going to give me an installment of $15,000.
Thank you, Jesus.
Whether I get the job, whether I don't, that ain't my supply.
Amen.
God's my supply, hallelujah. And so all I'm saying in that is, I felt like that's what the Spirit of God was saying. Now I can go ahead and get those doors and I can go ahead and wait on those doors to come in. But I mean the Lord is just telling me be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. But at the same time, the Bible says be bold as a lion.
Amen.
Well, he's done give me strength. He's given me strength not to rely on them God's doors. He's given me strength not to rely on my job when I work for the other guy. He's done showed me and give people strength not to rely on their socials. You know, I just heard the other day, I don't know if you know yet, D. I mean, here in 10 more years, they're gonna cut it. They're going to cut Social Security 25 or 30%. In 10 years, it's going to be cut.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the experts are telling you the truth, it ain't going to make it till then. Because more people not working, not paying Social Security in now. The pandemic and all that, the people ain't working. So Social Security is going. And I thought, well, Lord, I've been preaching it for all these years, Lord, that we can't put our trust in government or in our jobs or in people. We got to have our trust in you, God, the one that owns everything, the earth and everything in it belongs to the Lord. He's lent it out to us. See, now what I just preached trouble so good, God, what the use of even going to words? See, you can't get in all that. You got to stay strong. You've got to stay encouraged. Be one with the Lord. He's not up there saying, oh, God, guys, I don't know what y'all are going to do on the planet when bananas won't grow no more. Or when they plow up all the crops and pay the farmers more, not to harvest. It's happening.
Yeah.
Bible says there will be plenty of money and nothing to buy. Now, I don't know if that's where we're at, but it don't make me no difference. I'm looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. You know, I'm not going. God told me one time, he said, don't you ever not preach Matthew 24. He says, after all these things, talking about trouble and wars and war, nation against nation and all that, he said, after all these, then shall be the sign of the coming of the Son of Man. He said, don't ever teach that there ain't going to be trouble before my son comes back. He said, but that's not true. He said, you preach Matthew 24 just like it is, praise God. So I got in there and I believed it. And I said, well, even if trouble comes, Lord Jesus, I done seen you roll back the Red Sea, bless God, open the mouths of, shut the mouths of lions, close, quench the fire for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And we're no different than them, Lord, because we believe.
Amen.
We believe.
Yes.
They shall run. Give me that other one. Give me that. Give me that. I got a burden. I preached too much up there. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. Can you cast it away?
Yes.
He wouldn't tell you not to if you couldn't.
Yeah.
You can have confidence in God and then look out there and say, oh, God, I am able to pay that. This is going to happen. That, and you just lay that confidence right down.
Yeah.
See, you can lay down your humbleness before the Lord. You can lay down what Isaiah said. Those that wait on the Lord, that's confident. You can lay it down. It says, cast not therefore away, which has great recompense and reward. Listen, your confidence has reward.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He says, which has great recompense of reward. He says, for you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God. Now, notice, we must be in maintaining doing the will of God. Doing, somebody say, do the will of God.
Do the will of God.
Bible says, husband, love your wife, Christ so loved the church. Wives, submit to your husband. Don't talk down on them. Don't talk to your kids bad about them. Don't talk like they're your old man or your old lady.
Right.
Have some God respect.
Right.
Husbands, love your wife. As you know what that means? That means I'm going to put her before me.
Right.
That means I'm going to make sure she's took care of. I'm going to make sure she drives better than me if I can help it, praise God. I'm going to make sure that I don't get she get three biscuits tonight. Praise Jesus. Whatever's good. I buttered them. She told me, what's them biscuits? I thought, yeah. I go in there, boy, that's brown, man. I turn them off, we ain't got the butter. Well, I like to let it melt and scrub clean down. Then I like to let it set until it goes all the way through to the bread. Boy, I like a good soft biscuit, buttered biscuit, man. But there was three of them. They wasn't real big. So we go in there, she fixes her to get her one. I'm fixing my plate, and I'm going, Jesus, why didn't she cook four? I mean, absolutely, boy, I wanted both of them biscuits. I wanted them bad. You know, and I thought, well, bless God, I'll just eat one biscuit. She might want to go back for seconds, and praise God, I'm not eating that. I did not eat that biscuit. And I'm going to let her, she's eating, and I'm eating over her slow, and I'm watching her. Boy, she's over her. Boy, she's eating supper, boy. I ain't in a hurry, because if she don't go back for seconds, you know where I'm going? Thank God I'm going to get that biscuit. But I wasn't going to eat it if I thought she's going to eat it. See, I've trained myself to put her first. That's what love your wife is. I'm just a small thing there. But there's an anointing on me to stand up as a man of God then, and that devil can't get to my wife, but God, he just can't have her.
And
put you in a different, in the wife.
And my husband, any how sloppy he was at home.
He might be, the Bible says, let your good conduct, the way you women carry yourself at home, minister to your man. So if you treat him like a slob, he'll act like a slob. You look like him, look at him like a slob, you're going to feel like he's a slob. So you get the word of God out, and you go to submit him like he's a king. I told Teresa one time, I said, call me master. I ain't never got her call me master like Sarah did Abraham called it. She did one time, she said, yes, master. I said, don't do that again. That's weird. I was just messing with her. But see, when we're in submission to the will of God, I'm telling you, we come in there where our strength is renewed. I mean, we can run and not be weary. I mean, some of you are like, I can't run 10 seconds. I fall out. Bang. Not really what he's talking about, running. It means you can go without getting tired and weary. You'll walk and you won't get weary no more. But God, you just walk along because you a friend of God and you talk with God, you commune with God, and you know God, and you know God is faithful because you walked with him and talked with him and you stood and you drove out sickness and disease and you denied the power of poverty and you have resisted it. You got in union with God, following God, and you've ended up into a blessed place.
Amen.
A blessed place. Hallelujah. Travis, one time my business went through 2007 and I lost $300,000 or $400,000 in just a few years. Every year, you know, went down. I mean, lost a lot, you know. And so Travis, he's just coming up in this Christian thing, believing, and he goes to mom and talks to mom, you know, we're not getting to work and he's got bills and truck payment a little bit, you know, and all. And he goes to talk to mom, and he's thinking about going to Walmart, work at night, and then work with me when I got work in the daytime. all of that stuff, and I found out about it. And so I just asked him, I said, what's Jesus saying? I mean, that's a good thing to be asking. When the pressure's on, what is the Lord saying? Well, I don't know, I ain't really followed him yet. Really? Do you think you can jump off a bridge? You don't know how deep the water is? And you ain't asking how deep it is? And so he comes to this conclusion. Well, I'm being led there because my bills are due. Wasn't a good reason. He'd testified enough, I led him, and he'd tell you, don't ever get out of the will of God. Don't ever go away of pressure. That's not God. That's not God. He wouldn't change it for nothing today. He's thankful he didn't go to Walmart. I didn't tell him, no, you can't go to Walmart. I said, what's the Lord saying? Because I believe we need to know what the Lord said. I believe I need to know what the Lord said. I believe I need to teach my kids to know what the Lord is saying, not what their bodies are saying or their bills are saying or their ambitions are saying. What is the Lord saying? We never told Travis you can be anything you want to be. I know that sounds encouraging, but we've told him you can be everything God says you can be. You'll have God backing you up. So we taught him all of his life, find the will of God, and then you find what God wants for you, and then you can do everything God wants you to do and be.
Amen.
We want to teach them to yield to God.
Amen.
To wait on the Lord. Hallelujah. Give me the, oh, let me read it. For you have need of endurance. Some of you need endurance. You need to work on endurance. I'm going to quit my job. No, don't quit. Stay a little longer.
Yep.
I'm going to get a divorce. Stay a little longer.
That's right.
I'm going to quit church. Just stay a little longer.
That's right.
I don't like the way things are going. Hang in there a little longer.
Come on.
It's called endurance. Endurance is not pleasure. Endurance don't mean pleasure. Somebody say endure.
Endure.
It don't mean pleasure. Paul told Timothy, he said, endure hardship is a good soldier. Endure hardship. Endure. Don't run. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't faint.
That's right. Come on.
Build endurance. Endure. Hallelujah. Told Travis when he got married, I told him, I said, son, when you get married one time and that's it. One. I said, it ain't trite. If you don't like it, try another. I said, that's the way the world is and that's the way the culture is. I said, that's not the way it is. I said, you find the woman that is God's will for you. One that is already saved. Already going to church.
Yeah.
Little Miss Bethy come right on along. I don't think she'd ever see him until she met Travis. I think he taught her how to see him. Woo! He brought her. He loves her like Christ so loves the church now, pretty much the way I can see it.
Yeah.
I don't live out there. But. But how many knows, if you don't get a whole lot more out, which you will and have, learn to endure.
Yeah.
God told me not too long ago, he said, well, they just want to start me out at $8 an hour. And I said, where are you working? Well, I ain't got a job. I said, what's wrong with $8 an hour?
Yeah.
And you know where I got that? God.
Mm-hmm.
He taught me, God told me one time, he said, little is much when I'm in it. If he ain't in it, bunch ain't. He ain't no good if you get a bunch.
That's right.
I told Travis one time, it wasn't me, my brother over there roofing. Somebody say roofing.
Roofing.
Hard work.
Oh.
Over there. And it won't pay me $50, Dad. I said, how much money you got? None. That's $50, a lot more than what you got.
Yeah. Right.
I said, go work. Go roof. Well, I had to teach him, man. You can do what you need to do, right?
Yeah.
So he goes over there and gets up next morning. He's sick. Sick. He goes to work sick. My brother called me. He's working for my brother. My brother calls me. He said, oh, man, I better take him home. He's sick. I said, is he dying? No, he ain't dying. He don't look good. I said, keep him at work. I said, don't let him go home. Just work him. I said, he'll be fine working.
That's right. Boy, you ain't a good daddy.
No, he comes to my job sick now. I can't even keep him at home. He comes to sit, he comes to work sick, whatever. I've stopped the truck more than once and let him get out, throw up, get back in, and let's go and knock him doors out. Endure. I've taught him to endure. Hallelujah. I taught him not to quit when he don't feel good. I taught him how to, by example, glory to God. Hallelujah. I taught him me and you are examples. Hallelujah. We're living testimonies of the faithfulness of God in our life. Hallelujah. Give me the last one. It's in the last one I got to think. And I got to quit. I'm done. 8 minutes over. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. That profession means confession. Let us hold fast without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Now, black God, you got it coming out of your mouth when you're around there. Boy, God, I'm healed. Don't change it in the morning. Hold fast. Lord, I'm faithful to you when you really ain't faithful. Hold fast to that confession. Lord, I always do those things that are pleasing to you. And I was confessing that when I knew that there was things that wasn't pleasing to God. I was saying it by faith, and black God, I hung on to that profession, and I'm a way closer now than I've ever been to doing exactly what he wants me to do.
Amen.
I won't quit. So I want to encourage you. Let hell rage. Let the heathen rage. Let them go ahead and rage. Let the non-believing, the ones that's been born again, set back in unbelief and all of that. And you just separate yourself from them, bless God. Tell them, come on, man, let's go to the house of God, buddy. You'll leave there inspired. You won't be looking at the way things are. It'll help you. You know, don't sit down there with them. Oh, yeah, bad enough. Don't get in all that. Hold fast to your profession that God is able to do abundantly above. That God is faithful to do what he said he'd do. He's not a man that he should lie. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. And you keep that profession no matter what you feel. No matter what people say. Hallelujah.
Amen.
People say, used to say, he's just one of them Westerns. I'm going to say, no, they got the wrong book. Judging the book by its cover.
Yeah.
I'm a born again. I'm not a Weston anymore. Yeah. I'm a citizen of heaven now. Yeah. Yes, my natural lineage is that. But he changed me and transformed me. And I'm a new creation. And I think that way. I think I'm a new creation. I don't think I'm better than none of my family, but God, I'm for them and not against them. I'm praying for them, believing for their healing. I'm giving when God tells me to give. I'm helping them when I'm supposed to help them, bless God. I'm not no better than anybody on this planet, but I am born again. And that's the way you are. We're born again of the Spirit of God. So now from here out, let's have some endurance.
Amen. Oh.
So that we see the promise of God come to pass in our life. Let's pray.